What is going on, people? This is Elder Tenchi, and I am back with another episode of On the Brain. Today, we have a returning guest, my buddy, my podcast brother, this dude I've been working with for, you know, a few months. He's been on the show before. We had a dope conversation. Welcome back, Mr. Steady. Are you ready? DJ Big Dog himself. What is going down, my brother? How you been?
Was good, man. I love that intro. That was fire. Definitely dope.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, yeah, man. I mean, like we working regularly now with the, you know, with these podcasts and with these content and everything. And I see that you know, you got Who They Want Entertainment doing big things.
Absolutely.
You know, we about to head into season. Where are we?
Season six.
I don't know how you did 30 something episodes in the course of only a few months, but
that's what hard work and ingenuity is. You don't think about it, you just do it. I think it was you that said it. Like, the biggest way to get ahead is to stop looking at your numbers and just go.
Yeah, I'm still learning that. I'm not looking at them as much. But I still, you know, I see things going up, but I'm like, you know what? I'm having fun making this kind of content again. You know, I was in a slump for a while, still doing the stuff that I love to do. But every time I thought about talking about it, it was like, hey, is anybody going to care? You know what? I do. I'm having fun. And I know some people out here who are listening to this. They just love to, just be entertained by it. So that's what we're, you know, that's what we're here for. So tonight we're going to have a nice little spoiler discussion. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go in on Marvel's What If. Now, that dropped last month. We got 9 episodes.
Right.
And, okay. We're just going to go everywhere. Point of a spoiler discussion. Just go everywhere. So if anybody here who has not seen What If by now, then go watch it and then come back to this podcast, because we're just going to go in. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So let's start from the beginning. Of course, Captain Carter. What if Captain Carter got the Super Soldier Serum?
She was ruthless. She didn't play no games. It was like, at first, it was like, I didn't want this, but we have no other choice. And she fell in love with it, and it changed her for the better good. Like, it was phenomenal.
And that was just one, all it took was one decision. She decided to go with them during the experiment, and go with Steve, and that's what changed it up. That one little decision that she made.
Absolutely.
And for the most part, it's pretty much Captain America, the First Avenger, with a few things changed. You know what I'm saying? Like, they do a speed run of the movie, except, and it's not hard to see this, but just like with Rod, you know, with Steve, original, like, skinny Steve, they didn't want to put him in the army because he was so, like, skinny and sickly and stuff like that. But Captain Carter didn't have any of those things. But what did she have? Oh, she was a woman, right? So you got people trying to disregard everything that she's saying and doing just because she's a woman.
Absolutely. That is correct.
And really, that got me like that. That really got me, you know, feeling some type of way. But I had to think about it. The time in which they're in, it makes, you know, it unfortunately makes sense. But when she started like going out there taking no prisoners, they changed their tune
real quick, didn't they? Though they went,
yeah.
It was all, we don't need you. You should have stayed where you was, and all this. You should have just died off. Oh, thank you so much. We need you. Can you can you go to this country and do this, do that? Like, now you need it. Huh?
She's going to this country with the English flag on her chest.
Dope.
During wartime, and the only people that she got backing her up is Stark and Steve, and then later on the house, you know, what are they called? Howling something? I forgot. But they, you know, I was like, listen, why are you underestimating her? Don't underestimate Captain Carter. Have you seen the Agent Carter series?
Right. Did she not prove y'all before what her capabilities is?
Yeah, like, for that real, man.
So powerful that there's like a petition going online for them to like make a live action movie of Captain Carter now. Like,
oh, they for want, real?
What? They really want her to come to the mainstream now. Like, everybody feels like now after seeing her, what else? That she was way better than Steve. Like, this is the Captain America we all should have got with Steve, but we didn't.
Listen, I like Steve just fine. I like Captain Carter just fine. But I put respect on both their names because they both did what they had to do, you know? And the writing was very simple. It was pretty much the Captain America movie, only with some subtle changes. Like you have skinny Steve, but they still got that love story between the two of them. I'm glad that didn't change, you know, much. And he's got the Stomper armor, and that the Hydra Stomper, like early Iron Man-esque design.
Right, that model. But it showed you just how impactful Steve still is.
Yes.
Even without being Captain America, he's still like a soldier. Like, he's still exactly. ready to defend for what he cares about.
Yeah, he still had his purpose. He still served his purpose, and they still had, and they still had their love story. And Bucky did not become Winter Soldier. So, like, with them being around, he did not fall off that train and end up losing his armor or anything like that. So that is another thing that, you know, that. That change for the change for the better, and it was a fun time watching that, because I was a big fan of her in Captain America, and I was also a big fan of the Agent Carter ABC series. Right. So to see her get a starring role, even though she's always had a role in all of this, I mean, heck, she created right. S.H.I.E.L.D. but. You know, to see her getting a starring role, I was like, yes, this is what we needed. We didn't get that next season of Agent Carter that I was hoping for, but you know, we got this. This is just as right. good. You know,
definitely.
What did
definitely
you think of the? What did you think definitely. Of the art style, like the animation style?
It was brilliant. It was different because you got to see it more of a comic book text style of commenting. So it was great. I actually enjoyed it because it was like getting a mini movie. It was like if you was to take the real actors and then kind of put like this layer of what they would look like as a comic book hero and give them a little animation, this is what it would become. I loved it.
Yeah. Personally, I was really digging it. Like, I remember the early promo pictures. And it reminded me of a movie that they came out with, an animated film that they came out with similar animation. I don't know if this is made by the same animation studio, but it's basically Iron Man. It's basically Iron Man and the Hulk, right? They have to team up, and they're doing this the cel shaded comic booky looking animation with the CG.
I remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe they did go back to those animators.
It was very interesting to see, and I honestly was digging it. I was digging the colors. I was digging the color schemes. I was digging her suit. Heck, the Captain Carter is currently my phone's background.
Are you a fan?
Yeah. Some say fan. Some might say simp. I don't care. She was hot. I can't. I'm not gonna lie. I always thought she was hot. I always thought she was hot. The actor playing her is gorgeous, but I don't know, just seeing her with a little extra muscle and then her and in those battles and everything, I was like, you get what I mean.
Absolutely, right? Bro. Definitely kudos. 5 stars for episode 1.
Five stars episode 1.
Yeah.
Five stars episode 1. Okay. So all right. Well, you give that 5 stars. What you give episode 2? What if T'Challa became Star Lord?
That would get 10 stars just right off the back. I just want you to know that.
Listen, that was the best timeline. I'm basically taking the rating from Andre the Black Nerd of Black Nerd Comedy. He said that this is the best timeline. If he became a Ravager and basically became like Robin Hood, right?
Exactly.
And, and yes, they were taken from the rich. They were taken from the rich to feed, to feed the poor. But his reputation was, he's a cool guy. I might have to kill him, but it'll be an honor to fight with him or alongside him. Like, he had people trading, like taking sides.
Wasn't that something like, you're not powerful, you got to be like, oh man, I'm reigning to the great Star Lord T'Challa. And instead of me being like, bro, we just finna duel. Like, we basically finna, spar. And if you beat me, you beat me. But if I beat you, I get to kill you in a sense. Because that was my initial mission from the beginning. But just to have you, I was like, you know what? I can't even kill you now because I'm having so much enjoyment. I'm just going to join your team.
But the only thing I like, seeing him as Star-Lord, like his outfit and everything, awesome. Rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. But to hear him, especially after losing him, and it's been a year already, it hit differently. It really did, because I know that they didn't have everybody, come to reprise their roles in the animated show because, things happen. That's fine. Right. But to hear him and a few others, it's like, this is
iconic on a whole
nother. Yeah, it's a whole nother level, man. Like I'm thinking about it from, because I'm watching this on a Wednesday morning, but I'm thinking of like when I was a kid, waking up to watch, X-Men reruns on Fox Kids or Spider-Man or any other cartoon on Saturday morning. That's how it felt for me, even though these cartoons are just a little bit, and I mean like a teensy bit more adultish,
They were. They definitely had it. They had more.
They had some of the jokes in there, but it's really like it wouldn't go over a kid. It's not something that would it's not something as crazy. It's just like the movies, you can watch them. The kids can watch the movies by themselves without having to worry about any kind of subjective, language or anything like that. So, but this episode, I kind of like the back and forth between him and Nebula, because Nebula was actually one of my favorite favorite villains turned heroes.
Okay.
Because as you know, I'm a big Doctor Who fan, right? So really, it just makes Karen Gillan. It just makes sense, right? But I was like, did they have a thing in this universe, like? These two, T'Challa and Nebula, because they were kind of flirting.
They really was.
They really had,
and she knew a lot of his secrets and stuff. So,
and she gave, and she had a little nickname, called him Chai Chai. I'm like, did they have a thing? Are they trying to tease a thing here between these two? Or is he just, or is she just leading with the sexy? Is that what it is?
Nah, I don't know, because their chemistry was just so...
I know, they did have chemistry. Mm-hmm.
Who knows? What if there is, like, some sort of alternate universe where they are together and maybe have children? Can you imagine that?
Yeah, and that whole, like, when she's doing that, like, when you think she's doing the heel turn, right? It's like, okay, that was well done. That was well done. But her dad joining the Ravagers, Thanos joining the did you believe that? Was that believable?
It was unbelievable because it's Thanos right off the back, and you know him being the mercenary, ruthless tyrant that he is, to being this heartfelt, like, you got to see that different side of him where he wasn't trying to pursue the ultimate destruction of the universe.
He was still thinking about it. He would still talk about his plan, but T'Challa convinced the man that ain't the right thing to do. And he's like, well, think about it. Think about it. Just think
about it. That's all he wanted to do. And the love he had for his daughter, Nebula, was just amazing.
He wasn't an abusive father. He didn't, you know, none of that. And I was like, wait. But to go as far as to him joining the Rebel Squad, basically?
Right. That one may have been a little far-fetched, but at right. the same time, it was
right. Okay. But when Yondu picked T'Challa up after his dad told him, don't go beyond the barrier, right?
They picked completely through the barrier.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? He was a little kid, but also, like, that just proves you gotta watch your kids a little closer. Like, you know how you know how our parents would be like, stay where I can see you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those moments, especially when there's a barrier outside and no one's supposed to be able to see you, but it's easy to get past the barrier anyway.
Exactly. Like,
when you're already inside.
Stay in the yard.
Stay in the yard, wait till the street lights come, you know, and when the street lights come on, you better be in the house. You know, that.
You feel me? That moral never changes. Like,
no, it doesn't. But if he didn't do it, he wouldn't have been the best version of Star-Lord, in my opinion.
You know what? You're right. And you know? Seeing him reprise it so many times was like, they really gave him this role. Like, you don't even see, you know, the original Star-Lord no more. You're like, it's T'Challa now.
Like, well, because because OG, he's back at home. He never became Star-Lord. He grew up a regular person, probably knows right. more movie references now. You know what I'm saying? But his dad basically coming to absorb him, like, we'll get to that, but it's like, I was like, with the way that these things are ending, you kind of suspected that they were connected, even though it felt kind of episodic at the same time.
Exactly. They all had that universal combination of they all right. exist in one galaxy.
Right. But I think it's because when they give us these promos, you run the risk of telling us too much within the promo.
Agreed.
When you see them doing the same kind of poses as they did in the original Avengers movie, it's like, okay, eventually they're going to sync up. But how with these universes? Not, oh, we're on the same planet or within the same galaxy, we just don't run into each other as much, you know what I'm saying? Or we know of each other. In this case, they come from whole different universes, what if timelines, and they don't know of each other at all, you know? So,
right.
Or they do know a version of said person, but it's a totally different version, lived a whole different life. You know?
Yep, the variant versions.
Bro. The variant versions. And it goes back to, have you seen Loki?
Of course.
Okay. So like all the time variants and stuff, like they had a point, you know? I think about it and I was like, they had a point of stuff just splitting off and, you know, things like that, because that's where this pretty much brings you into it. If you've seen Loki and you saw the timeline split apart, it's like,
yeah. It was always there, and you know, the Watchers and all those great people and the great beyond that kept it in sync. Was like, as long as y'all don't know of each other's existence, everything will run smoothly.
Exactly.
Like, if you know that the chaos didn't come in until everybody became woken and paying attention that, look, this ain't the way things supposed to
be. This ain't the way it did. And wait. And you're telling me those Time Lords, they're fake? You're telling me they're just machine? What? What is my life? I want my jet ski back. That is so far, Loki is the first original that we know for sure is getting a second season.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Loki, yeah. Off the bat. I was hoping maybe Falcon and Winter Soldier first.
Yeah, but they're getting a movie, so Captain America 4. So I'd be cool with that. I mean, if they did decide to come back and do another, show, because someone does take up the mantle of Falcon,
right?
So
agreeable in the comic book.
Yeah. So if they did that, because they did tease the next guy to take up the mantle, but he'll obviously show up in the, I don't want to say obviously, like I know because I don't know, but I'm thinking he's gonna show up in Captain America 4. You know?
Got to. You gotta give him a role. You gotta give him a role.
I know you can't just give him a role like that and not expect him to show up again like soon.
Thank you. Don't do that. Don't kill him off right as we see him, finally get his wings.
Right.
Literally.
And no, but that I know we're going all over the place, especially now, but I gotta ask you, since we're talking about it, what did you think of the comic accurate costume?
Being a connoisseur of the comic book and looking for that originality and authenticity, I loved it right off the bat. You know what I'm saying? Because it's what makes the hero is having that accuracy of seeing them in their legit costume, suit up. I mean, Marvel's done a great job with the movie realms and give them an alternate costume, anyway. But to go back to something a little more retro, but with a new spin on it, was like, okay, I see you, Marvel. Good looking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can understand, their whole comic accurate costumes don't always show up well in real life. I get that.
Right.
That's why for the longest time, X-Men were just wearing black,
Exactly. Can you imagine trying to see Hugh Jackman's Wolverine in yellow spandex?
No, I don't want to imagine that. No.
Exactly.
No, I don't want to imagine that. I think he's fine. I think he's fine the way he is with just a t-shirt and jeans or something. But yeah, like the T'Challa episode, really, you had the sense of family in there because of him and Yondu. He did find out about his, people still, Wakanda still being around. I'm kind of I don't want to say upset that they went with the cliche, oh, I didn't tell you that your family was still, alive after all this time and they were actually looking for you. I didn't want you to go back. Like, he didn't want him to go back to that because it was like, that's my family, right?
I feel like they should have, in a reality sense, it was like, it would have been kind of cool as a teenager to maybe have bought him back. And, because you got to think about it. With T'Challa's dad being the Black Panther, still continuing the mantle of Black Panther, what could it be, Matt? What would he be? Yeah, his son, but you got to look at Wakanda's had different belief systems and they wasn't tyrants or mad about anything. It's just like, come to us, talk to us, let us have a council agreement. And then if we can agree to emancipate them back in your arms, it's no deal.
No problem. It would have been dope to see like T'Challa's dad in the Black Panther costume fighting alongside them. That would have been a nice,
if they gave him that closure that he needed. If you go back to the movie realm of Civil War and watching his dad die, it would have been like, at least I had a chance to fight side by side before that moment happened.
That whole, that whole thing was sick. But overall, I think the episode was just awesome. And Chadwick Boseman's last role, and this is not the last time we hear him in this show, so really, honestly, I love it.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Okay, so next we got, what if the world lost its mightiest heroes?
Ooh, that one's the deepest episode they've had.
I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming because I don't really like when you think Marvel, you don't think murder mystery all that much, you know?
No, that never falls.
No. Like in the decade that they've been doing this, yeah, and 11, 12 years? It's 2021. He started in 2009. Oh my God. No, 2008. So in the decade plus that they've been doing this, we've gotten spy thriller, action, right. We've got straightforward action adventure. We've gotten a lot of comedy because they roll with the jokes. But I don't think we've gotten a heist movie, but we've never in something like Ant-Man, but we never got a murder mystery. And to see that, I'm like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean Tony's dead? Like dead? You sure they didn't just
right?
You sure they didn't just tranquilize him? Nope. No, he's dead. He's dead, gone, deceased. Like, okay, what next? Oh, Hulk. Yeah, he's explosion.
Ruthlessly exploding.
Like ruthlessly. The only thing they didn't add was blood. It's like, look, if we add blood, then we can't have it on our planet.
Because Hulk was that one I was rooting for. Like, I didn't see his demise coming. Like, you didn't see him. I'm like, okay, out of all the ones that was just basically getting picked off like ants, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Hulk doing it. And then I was still stuck in the trance of, wait, what just happened? Rewind that. Like, I had to rewind it. Like, huh? I didn't see, because you don't see how it was going down. You just knew at some point it was just starting to just fall apart.
Yeah. And freaking Thor. Like, yeah, Thor. But Thor, here's one thing I found very, very interesting. Thor is a god, right?
Right.
So for him to be taken down like that, it was kind of surprising. But, you know, it's just like, yeah, you got to stop the Avengers Initiative before it happens. Like, you know what's going to happen because you read the text. Exactly. But the idea that you like, I'm going to take revenge on you for this by taking away your secret weapons, which is to put the Avengers together. And that's right. All before Cap is even unfrozen. Like he doesn't even show up in the episode until the end. So like, and he's still on ice, but they basically gave they basically gave Black Widow and Nick Fury their own episode because they're the ones that had to solve this mystery.
Didn't they though? They had to, and that's where your detective work came in, because it took a lot of skill to figure out why this was happening. Like, kudos to the Black Widow. She just really kind of, but what if Black Widow's like the Black Widow they should have had all along? Wow, she was amazing.
She was cool. No, she was cool. But what I did not see Hank Pym being the murderer originally.
That one came as a real shock.
Honestly, I did not see that. I'm like, what reason would you have to do that? Oh, okay. So in this timeline, his daughter, Hope, was a SHIELD agent who ended up getting killed in the line of duty. And he blames Nick Fury.
Right.
So he donned the yellow jacket armor, the yellow jacket suit, and just strategically kills them all. And I did not see that coming. I'm not saying it was like expertly done, because
showed you his genius level. Like,
it really did.
He knew exactly how to target each one specifically. he studied, you know what I'm saying? Because you gotta think it still takes place after the attack on Loki and, you know, all those related to the movie realm. So it's still in that cinema era where he's like, oh yeah, I saw everything. I done watched over the years. Y'all thought y'all was the top dog. I done studied. So now I done bought my time to where I'm like, okay, here's my plan. I'm gonna take out everybody. And the best way to take out everybody, take out the toughest ones first.
Yeah, and you know, and you knew that Hulk was going to be tough unless you get at him internally. He had to literally be injected into him in order to bring up that in order to, what did he set off a bomb. And I'm like, I'm surprised no one's actually thought about that. Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Has no one thought about that?
All y'all scientists, all y'all creators in the Marvel cinema, Marvel universe, didn't nobody say the best way to stop somebody with gamma-induced issues is to attack them from the inside.
Well, yeah, because then you're really sacrificing two people because they can't live without each other. You know, Bruce Banner and the Hulk, they literally cannot live without each other. Now, according to what I've seen in the comics, there's times where they've split, all this stuff has happened, but ultimately they have to be together. So you're killing two in one in that case, right?
It's crazy because if you remember in the cinema universe where Bruce Banner does tell that time about how he was trying to get rid of Hulk and he was explaining the Black Widow. Matter of fact, it was in the first Avengers. Mm-hmm. He was like, look, I've tried to get rid of this. I've tried. He's like, I even went as far to commit suicide. He was like, I put a gun in my mouth, pulled the trigger, and he was like, the other guy just spit it back out. So you know how clever you had to be to still get even under Hulk's attention span to get that far?
Yeah, because you got to get him while he's still Hulk, though, because one will, like, Hulk comes out to protect himself, but also to protect Banner. So it's like, you got to get him as he's hulking out.
Yeah,
which they did. And I did not see that coming. That was when the show started getting darker.
It did.
It
was dark.
Yeah, because from that point on, the next few episodes were like, anybody live in this? Which brings us right to zombies. Look, everybody was looking forward to Marvel Zombies. I've never read a Marvel Zombies comic. I've only seen the covers, right? So to see these like gruesome animations, who came up with this? How can you do a Marvel Zombies, like, essentially mini movie, you know, in the MCU? Oh, okay. No, see, you do it like you do a normal zombie movie, only with superheroes.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you basically got to do. It's a very simple formula. The only thing that seemed to annoy some I saw was the fact that this was the most jokey. This is the one where they were cracking the most jokes in a very dire situation. Like, there's zombies all around and you guys are the only ones really left, you know, and y'all are making jokes about it, like short little quips about it, or just making like weird jokes about it. I get what they're saying, because this is a dark situation. Who wants to joke right now? You know,
exactly. Like, yeah, we're in a zombie apocalypse. It's a great time to crack a couple jokes.
Yeah. I mean, but it's been Marvel's shtick for a long time. Some people get annoyed by how jokey they actually are in the MCU. You know?
Right.
Me, I'm cool with it for the most part, but I understand where people are coming from when they say they don't like how jokey they are. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but they're humans. You gotta look at it. Some are humans, some are metahumans, however you want to look at
right.
it. But at the same time, I didn't find... But I guess, like, for heroism, you'd be like, that's the time you got to put the jokes aside and handle your business.
But But I look, see, this is the first one that Spider-Man was in, and part of me was like, okay, see, even though Spider-Man's technically still a Sony property, this is animated and Marvel has animation rights. So it's the one time you'll see him like this, even with Tom Holland being the being the voice. I'm like, this is a technicality right here, isn't it?
Right. Shout out to Tom Holland. He's the GOAT at
Tom Holland is sick. And the Uncharted, at the time of this recording, the Uncharted movie trailer just came out.
Exactly.
And some are for it, some are not, because it doesn't, they say it doesn't represent the game itself too. And I'm like, do y'all not know it's a video game? It's a video game movie. Do you think they're actually going to pay attention to the video game stuff in a video game movie?
Look at the Resident Evil franchise.
Look at the Resident Evil franchise. Did you see the, what? Ooh, speaking of zombies, did you see the Resident Evil trailer for the new stuff?
Raccoon City.
Raccoon City.
Going to be the best. I think it's going to be that best new era of the franchise.
I'm just grateful that they're actually using actual characters as the main characters instead of just making one up.
Yeah. Why you had to do a girl like that?
Look. Nothing against the actress herself. Nothing. No. But the fact that they made up a character and then had her as the main for all that time.
You got
like, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing against her. Nothing against her. Nothing against her acting. Nothing against that. It's the fact that they made up a character and made her the avatar for the entire franchise.
Like that new Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. like the new Mortal Kombat, they made him the avatar based on us. Like, if you're going to make up a brand new character, make him interesting. He wasn't all that interesting.
They sucked. He denied the tournament, everything the whole time.
And they literally gave him plot armor. The term plot armor, and they gave him armor as a power. I'm like, man, you might as well have just made him Johnny Cage.
You could have made him somebody.
You could have made him somebody. You really like. I like the dynamic he had with his family, right? I like that. But they could have worked on him a little more. But that's neither here nor there. Speaking of original characters who weren't originally in the franchise, but
exactly,
yeah, but. Nah, getting back to Marvel Zombies, very simple premise, very easy to follow. The twist of Vision being the reason why, like he's like, okay, I'm letting them feed because she needs it. Like he's doing it for love. But imagine coming off of something like WandaVision, which in itself had so many different tones, that you get this darkness right here, and she still has her abilities. Like, and Wanda still has her abilities. Scarlet Witch zombie. Crazy.
You feel me? Changed the game, didn't it, though? Like, it's bad enough she's a zombie, but a zombie with her full capability power, that's a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, anybody up there that say, well, we can't use the term mutant yet. I mean, they can't. We can. So anybody in there that's a mutant that gets turned into a zombie, they still have their abilities. That's an extra threat on top of this already threatening cake.
Exactly. Especially about them having Captain America zombie mode. Like, really?
Right, that's straight. Like he's strength, he's fast. He may not know, he may not be completely coherent, but he can still throw the shield like a madman. And
nobody want to be. It would have been like to been in that realm and having your head clocked open by a zombie with a shield. Like you can avoid it because it came. You're like Captain America zombie mode. And you thinking like, yeah, it's cool. You mocking him, thinking he can't do nothing, and then bam. That shield comes with perfect accuracy, and you're like, you know what? I bought this death on myself.
Yep. But it's oh man, it was just like it was a fun dark episode, and it just gets darker from here.
7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. That is fair. It just gets darker from here, though, because then we have something like, what if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands?
Now that one became my favorite episode. Whew. Secondary under the T'Challa.
Look, even though, yeah, we mixed the order up. That one came before zombies. But oh geez. All right.
Take your time.
He tried so hard to keep her alive.
Then
the fact that, unlike in the original MCU, where they teased his relationship between him and her, to see them together and then go through that car crash, like, you know how, okay, we've all lost people that close to us, right?
Right.
Now, just imagine if you could never let go. Like, yeah, they'll never leave, but what I'm saying is never accept the fact that they're gone.
Right.
You know, that right there. And once again, another simple story. But once you keep seeing the scenario after scenario after scenario after scenario of them just her dying, even there was even one scenario where they didn't even leave the house, and she still died.
Death is inevitable. Like, it literally was. I don't care how you souped it up. You could have wrapped it in bubble wrap. You know, however he tried to keep it. He was like, bro, we could just stay home, order in, watch a movie. Don't go nowhere.
And still, it still had. But it reminded me, because they were talking about like fixed moments and a fixed moment in time. It was absolute. It was an absolute that she was supposed to die, right?
Yeah.
That reminded me of the time rules in Doctor Who. There was a couple times where they had changed the past, but it had to correct itself. So they had these time remnants or these ghosts that were trying to put things back in order. And there was this one thing in particular during the David Tennant era where Rose saved her father, who in her timeline had died, right? Mm-hmm. He got ran over by a car. So I remember, so she ends up saving his life, but as a result, the car that was supposed to take his life kept following them at high speeds until he died, right?
Right.
She got to say her final goodbye, but he still ended up getting run over because that was supposed to happen.
And you can't change it no matter how many times.
Like, I have been asked on more than one occasion, actually.
Okay.
If you had the ability to go back in time and kill Hitler, would you do it? And I had to swallow my pride and tell my friend, if I did, what would that lead to?
Mm. Right.
Because we assume by doing something like that, taking out a tyrant like that, that it would lead to something positive. But who's to say that no one else would take up the mantle and be worse?
We don't think about that part. You'd never think about the again, quote unquote, no pun intended, what if?
Exactly. Because it's a fit. It's already happened. History has said it happened. There are still people who had dealt with that, you know, with that moment in time that can tell you that it happened. But who's to say that if we went back in time and prevented it from happening, that something worse wouldn't take its place? And there are other evil geniuses just like you know, just like Hitler, who were in rank at the time. Like, I just learned about some African kings who, you know, who did things just like him. But because, you know, they didn't really tell us that in school, you know, it's, you know, we don't think about it. But because it's a fixed moment in time, even if we had the power, who's to say that wouldn't make something worse or completely change the, you know, the flow of, like, I don't know how would it affect us personally, but what would that change? You know, because it's already happened. What would that change? You know, but if you were someone like, you know, someone like Strange, who instead of working hard to, well, he did work hard to, you know, to gain his power and everything. But at the same time, his whole thing was, oh, I want to gain the power to do these forbidden spells because I want to revise the dead. Right.
Yep.
And he did. And but the way he did it, like, I don't know what was darker, the fact that he would that she died multiple times on repeat or when he, you know, or when he was, you know, gaining the power to, you know, by taking the lives of these other magical beings, which also he was staying, you know, he was staying in his own time because everything else around him aged, but not him. Like,
he became that literal, he, and being that, if you know Dr. Strange, he's known as the Supreme Sorcerer anyway.
Right.
Now he's like, he's the mad Supreme
Sorcerer. He's the mad Supreme Sorcerer. Because, like, even when the Ancient One came to him, told him exactly what was going to happen. Like, yes, I'm, you know, I'm dead. You are, you know, this is not supposed to be happening. I had to split you and another Stephen Strange apart. And then you see who is like our Stephen Strange, really.
You know, you do get that one, that version.
You know, and they give you the Strange versus Strange fight, right?
That was embarrassing.
you didn't like Strange versus Strange,
man, because I gained a whole new look for, like, the mad Dr. Strange. Like, bro, he was definitely that old. Like, he was everything the good Dr. Strange should have been. But like she said, y'all, actually, there wasn't two different variants. She said it herself. She said y'all are both the same. So there wasn't like you had to kill an evil variant. It was more like, I need you to bring your goodness to this variant to show him you can still be the Sorcerer Supreme, but just have a different consciousness.
Right. But they did what I didn't think they were going to do. They let the bad guy win.
And that's what, again, since we've been talking about this parallel of darkness, that just seemed to unravel. That's what led to more bridges coming, like more doors start opening. Like, you see, that's why they kept telling you this is what if, but this is what happens when you corrupt the timeline, even after we're going to tell you the timeline is corrupted. And
right.
It's like, yeah, let's go ahead and just add a couple more, you know, bridges in this gap. Like, yeah.
He thought he was doing it for a good reason because he missed his love, you know, and I'm not, right. Look, and really, like, I can understand that. We can understand that. But once you actually did get your wish.
Exactly.
Once you actually did get your wish, it costs so much. She woke up freaking out, seeing you as a beast while the world is being covered in this like black ooze, just being erased from existence. And it was so trippy. Even when he gains the power to do this and is able to witness the Watcher watching, and the Watcher's like, oh, I can't do anything. What do you mean you can't do anything? No, literally, I'm not supposed to do anything. You're not supposed to be able to see me.
Right. You ain't gonna have me break my place. It's bad enough you see me.
Yeah, but you're a supreme being. Help me, help me. But
nah, bro. We gave you ample warnings. We done gave you all these warnings. I even brought back, gave you the opportunity to bring back the love of your life to try to even convince you, and you still was trapped in this darkness.
Oh yeah, she did try to convince him. This isn't right.
He still didn't want to hear. He was like, I did this for us. I did this for us. She didn't care about us at this point. She was like, listen, bro, I'm dead. Just let me be dead now.
Like, man, look, you gotta let her rest. But no, you let everything around you basically melt. Like,
right. Now you put yourself in this prison world of, as long as I still got her in this prison, I don't need the world.
Yo, man, but that
nine out of ten. Nine out of ten is my rating.
Nine, you give that a nine? That was the darkest of the dark episodes. Right.
I know it still gets a nine just based on him being hard hit.
Oh, you know, no. I respect that rating and I will join you in that. I will also give it a nine. Straight up nine.
Yeah, if you done got so many warnings, that's the only thing. This is why they say the old cliche, warning comes before destruction. I'm gonna tell you, the lady, even, you know, she was like, the ancient one was like, there was a guy who tried to do the same exact thing you trying to do back in the day, and he failed miserably. Why you feel like you could just right that wrong anyway? Like,
oh, he already had an ego. Remember, this is Doctor Strange. He already had an ego because he was such a great surgeon that people were pumping him up, you know?
So he ego tripped, and this is what happened when you ego trip, ladies.
Where our Doctor Strange was humbled eventually by his experience of almost losing his life and then having to rebuild over again. It's, you know, this one never, you know, he just kept going and going and going until he lost everything important to him, you know. All right, let me take a quick breath. We already went through Marvel Zombies because after that we kind of went in out of order, but it's okay, you know.
Be thankful y'all got a 2-for-1 special.
Well, yeah, because you don't really have to, until a certain point, watch these things in the exact order.
Exactly. So, yeah.
But all right, so that leads us into what if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark?
Let's dive in.
Okay. Starts off with Tony Stark about to, you know, going through the same stuff he went through in the movies, except instead of him, instead of that, you know, that bomb exploding near him, and then, you know, and then him having that shrapnel in his chest, Killmonger comes up and quickly just throws the bomb. It explodes. They become friends. He rescues them. They become friends. And you're thinking, you know, this might not be such a bad thing, you know?
Immediately, exactly. You see that ties, that binds instantly. You're right. I didn't see nothing coming in that
one. Nah, at first, I was like, okay, I know that, you know, Pepper Potts is a little suspicious of the guy, and so is, Rhodey. But this could be something, this could be a good thing. But all this proved is, as much of a jerk Killmonger could be, you know, like, as much of a jerk he was when we first saw him,
right?
This has made him a lot worse, because now he had more resources. And then they have to remind Tony. He has to remind Tony that, man, listen, you're a white man, and you're a rich white man in America.
Right.
I don't have to. I'm like, ooh, they went there. Like, you know that scene. They went there. I'm like,
they pulled that card, like, bro. See, what you thought the white privilege was getting you, Tony? Nah, bro.
Like, dead serious, they went there. I'm like, oh shoot. But what tripped me, like, what got me a little bit was, like, when they're, you know, when they're developing his robots, right?
Yeah, the kilobot.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, what's going on with the design? He's like, what? I like anime.
So I put my own little spin on it.
You know, I like anime, and I'm like, well, Michael B. Jordan does in real life. He likes anime.
He's a big anime
He's
fan.
a big anime fan. And I did not notice this until other people pointed this out. But he's essentially wearing Vegeta's battle armor. Did you notice that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
somebody did a side-to-side comparison, and it was the same. Look it up. Oh, so you didn't know. Look it up.
You learn something new every day, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I didn't learn this until after I had already seen Black Panther.
He actually does, though. With the tan straps, represent blue, the navy blue sleeve, hard chest. You know what? The accuracy.
The accuracy, right?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I learned something.
Dude. And I'm not saying they should ever do this, okay? But if they were to try again with a live-action Dragon Ball Z movie, whoever designed that, get those people on the phone.
Agreed. That's your concept right there.
Get those people on the phone, but get better writers. Get better writers in the writers' room. Get Akira Toriyama's blessing. Get all that, you know, get all that done first. If you're ever thinking about doing another live action Dragon Ball movie again, I've seen better ones done by fans.
Okay.
I have seen better. I sent you one, as a matter of fact. The Light of Hope movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately a dark look, version.
Yeah, no, I will not you do not mess around. You not mess around with that just to make a quick buck. But anyway, with Killmonger basically being, is he worse than his counterpart? Yeah. Or about the same? You think he's worse?
No, you can't really call him worse,
though. It seems like they seem pretty on par with each other, because they both got what they wanted.
Exactly.
Right? They both got what they wanted, except for one thing. He actually was, after his lies and when he got to Wakanda, he and it was done earlier than expected originally, because of him saving Tony. When he came in, like, because if you see, like, Cherie, she's much younger when we see her in this timeline, right? But right. She's not fallen for any of her, you know, for any of his, lies, right? Everybody else is like, Tony Stark was the one that killed my cousin, all that stuff. When really it's like seeing that fight, I was like, did they really just let him do this? Like all of this, they just let him do? Yeah, okay. And then he has that, he has them march on Wakanda and everything, and it's like, okay. Yeah, I don't know if this one's worse or around the same.
He didn't play all his mercenary cards, though. So you can't really say he's worse off. He's just strategic now.
Strategic, yeah. He's a lot more. Well, because he's a soldier. He's got to be strategic. Now, I did see there is a comedian I follow on TikTok who was also in the military. She did some time in the Air Force. She right. pointed out some of the inaccuracies of of what he was saying about, like, him, getting to a certain rank at a certain age, right?
Yeah.
Now she still liked the show overall. She would keep doing skits about it, right? But she's like, man, how crazy is this? Because it said something about the way the military kind of molds you,
Right.
But also, be also the way he, he was angry because basically, he was denied, you know, he was denied his place in Wakanda because of, you know, because of the way Wakanda was. Like, you know, why with all the stuff going on in the, you know, and the, sometimes when you listen to what he was trying to do, you kind of agree with him in ways. Like, you're out, yeah. You guys are out here just, you know, in your own country, your own community, literally blocked from world maps, while our brothers and sisters are out here dying. What's up? You know?
Yeah.
But this version of them was like, okay, I'm gonna take over Wakanda, right? I'm gonna get them on my side. They're gonna give me the power of the Black Panther, and then we're gonna ride. You know, we're gonna ride and do whatever else, you know, I'm planning on doing.
That man was a genius. That man was a pure genius.
Yeah. It was just, but he was playing the long con, because it resulted in him killing Tony, who was a lot more egotistical in this version, because he was never humbled by that, you know, by his experience, you know. Right. So it, you know, so like, honestly, I think that was a pretty dope episode. I it was one of the darkest. But it was a pretty dope episode. What would you give it?
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
8 out of 10.
What stops it from being a 9?
What stops it from being a 9? It's the fact that couldn't nobody stop. Maybe if I would have seen a little more detective skill of like, he's a threat, we gotta get rid of him, maybe at that crucial moment, especially at the, but then, like you say, they gave, like, according to documents, like, they gave the most comic accurate Tony Stark in this world. With him, you know, being blindsided Tony, you know, cause like they said in the comic book, even though Tony was a beautiful genius millionaire, he was an alcoholic. So you see him really more with that, like, they pointed out something that I had ended up watching. Like, if you pay attention to Tony that entire episode, Tony's always drinking.
True. Yeah.
And then, like you say, he's already bad enough. He didn't get to become Iron Man. So, you know, he's not really on his Avenger guard. He's just like being their playboy at this point. And he just let his guard down too much.
His ego just keeps building. He never develops his relationship with Pepper. And exactly. But she's like, okay, something is really sus over here. So, and her and Sheree, they have to team up, but they leave it at, you know, they leave that for the end. I'm like, oh, that's when I started asking myself, how much of this is actually going to lead up to the ending? You know, it was that episode that made me ask myself, what is the ending going to be like if and when they start connecting these things?
Right.
Which they started doing, you know, but it was really not until the last two episodes. But so the next one is actually kind of fun. The next one was episode 7. What if Thor was an only child?
You're right.
Now, all they basically did was they just upped his antics more, because before he was like, you know, he had an ego before. He was basically a man child before, but this time they turned him into a frat boy.
Didn't they though?
You know,
partying in Las Vegas, like, yeah, living a Hollywood lifestyle now.
Yeah, just straight up partying. Meets the love of his life along with Darcy and everything, but I don't know. It seemed like they were now. I did hear someone complain. One criticism was that the way the women were written, they didn't like, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the ironic part is this was written by a woman.
So why are we mad then?
But I think it was because the way they were acting when it came to Thor, it seemed a little more, you know, like a little like, you know, boy crazy around him. Whereas the agent, I forgot her name, like Agent Sharp, she, you know, you know, she was trying to keep Shield and stuff afloat, but partying too hard almost ruined the planet, like almost right. completely destroyed the planet, right? And I'm like, right. I'm like, man, like partying that hard, going from one country, from one continent to the next, like, yeah, I can see it. But seeing all these, you know, but seeing all these characters together, just partying and having fun after all the dark, all the dark episodes, I'm like, this is a nice change of pace. It's a little goofier, you know. It's a nice change of pace. And Howard the Duck
becomes more of a fan favorite each time.
They need to give Howard, they need to give Howard more to do. Man, because any other time we see him, it's just like a quick cameo. He's, you know, he's got a drink in his hand. He says a few quick lines and that's it. Here, he got married. He got Vegas married.
Like, so they let you know he's a pivotal part of something going on in this Marvel world. They just didn't really unveil him yet.
I mean, he did fight in Endgame. He did. He showed up like he came out of one of those portals too.
Right, he's there. He's on the record.
All we need to do to truly put some respect on his name and basically redeem him from the black spot that was the original Howard the Duck movie is put him in one of the Marvel films as a regular character, right?
Right.
Or give him, because they were going to give him his own show for Hulu. It was supposed to happen. They announced it like 2 years ago. It ended up not happening. We still got the MODOK show, which has nothing to do with the overall MCU at all. It's just a nice, fun, you know, show made by the same people that brought us Robot Chicken.
But
Howard the Duck was supposed to get his own show. Now, they might go back in the writer's room and try to revise that idea, because I'd like to see that, because I don't really know much about Howard the Duck. My first introduction to Howard the Duck was the movie.
Don't feel bad, mine too.
And I still, and as a kid, because I didn't understand it, I kind of liked it. You know?
And actually, it goes on one of my favorite movie lists. It's like, it's definitely a fave.
But then I watch it again as an adult. I'm like, what the heck were they on?
Definitely not the same.
What were they thinking? It's like when you watch the Mario movie as a kid and then you watch it again. It's like,
exactly.
I was only excited to see Mario.
That's a great analogy, because this show died as you got. Now you see what the fans see now.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was only excited. Like, when I first saw the Super Mario film, I was a teenager. My brother, he saw it when he was a kid. So to him, up until a certain point, it was just the fact that the Mario name and everything was on the big screen.
That's all it was.
Mario and Luigi was on the big screen. He didn't care about anything else. It was just Mario and Luigi, you know?
That's the difference when you're fans. Like, you don't look for spot on accuracy at that moment. You just love seeing the characters being brought to life.
Yeah. Like, how many times has Batman been on screen?
Too many.
Not everybody's gonna like every version of Batman.
Right. This new version seemed like it got my attention. This one might be the best Batman I think DC universe is about to unveil.
Yeah, no. After that trailer, I was like, you know what? Even though I grew to like Batfleck, I actually grew to like Batfleck. But it's interesting, because Howard the Duck is like a special case. Like,
right.
That was made by Lucasfilm. And I was like, wait, George Lucas was a Howard the Duck fan?
Mm-hmm.
He was a Howard the Duck fan. Has he read the comics? Because the comics versus the movie are like two different beasts. Mm-hmm.
He was like, look here, after the success of Star Wars, I ain't need to read nothing.
Hey. I mean, it would have helped.
It would have. Definitely.
But it was the late 80s, early 90s. Who was really paying attention that much?
this is the man that gave us Star Wars. Well, he should have paid attention to himself. You don't give us a beautiful creation like Star Wars and then skimp us on Howard the Duck.
But he gave us the prequels.
True.
And no, depending on who you are, you either like them or you don't. That's all. You know.
Plain and simple. Agreed.
And then Disney came back and gave us cash grabs. I mean, there's stuff I like about them, but they're cash grabs. Just blatant cash grabs. Nothing new. but put Howard the Duck in Guardians of the Galaxy like you did at the end of the first one, right? You gave him a chance to fight in Infinity War and freaking Endgame. I mean, you know, in Endgame. And then you put him in the What If show and you actually gave him some, you know, some more speaking lines. But I'm like, hey, what if he did more than just that, though? Because there are some diehard Howard the Duck fans out there. You know, this is What If. How about next season? You give him his own episode.
Booyah. How you like them?
There you go. But what if Thor was an only child? Now, there was some benefits to that because him and Loki, they were homies. And I like Ice Giant Loki, like the true Ice Giant Loki.
Yeah, him in his true natured form, definitely dope.
Yeah, no, that was dope. And they were just having some fun. They were just having some fun. What I don't get is how it is that his mom was supposed to be. Somebody pointed this out to me, like the way his mom was transported from, you know, from one place to another should have been in an instant, but because they were doing the clean this mess up before my parents get here thing that they do in college movies, and big ups to the part they gave for Captain Marvel. I can't you know just take that out. Like Captain Marvel played a huge part in this. Right. And I enjoyed seeing her, especially in the episodes we see her in again. But they really treated this like a college film, like a college comedy. The only thing they didn't have was sex. It was implied.
Yeah,
it was implied. They didn't like straight up say that they did, but it was implied.
Right.
So yeah, they did all the college tropes. Man, so that one was a quick one. So since the next two are basically part one and part two of each other, right? What if Ultron won, and what if the Watcher broke his oath, episodes 8 and 9? Let's just talk about those two together.
Perfect. Okay.
Cool. So what if Ultron got what he wanted? Like he wanted peace, and he thought in order to achieve peace, destroy the planet where you're the only one up there.
Savage mode, right?
What if he did get his body? Because originally he was supposed to be in Vision's body. What if Correct. He got that and got the friggin' Infinity Stones?
Thanos, eat your heart out! Because he showed you who was better with the stone.
Yeah, no, seriously, Ultron versus freaking Thanos. I gotta give it to Ultron.
Got to.
I gotta give it to Ultron.
He had his purpose, but then he didn't have emotions wrapped into it, so it was just like.
But that was also a problem because he was just thinking on his own logic. Peace to him is no other life forms left on Earth.
Right. Okay.
Right. So, yeah, but he did what he set out to do for the most part. It was only until before that, you even have Hawkeye and Black Widow having to basically recruit one of Hydra, the dude inside the computer. And I'm like, yo, is that the perfect? Oh, okay. That's a nice way to put him in there. Like, but
computer virus upload.
But it's just crazy because they had no choice but to do that. They were the only two left. Like, imagine being the only two left on the planet.
And then Clint was like, he was tired. Clint was like, only reason I've still been holding on is because of you. I'm just ready to go ahead and just die.
And I know some people that were like really excited because they, you know, because it felt like Black Widow got her redemption arc, like because she didn't end up dying this time around. But
she did
a lot in the, you know, in the last few movies before she died. But it's just, you know, in this one, the one with Hawkeye to me was intense. You know, like Hawkeye dying instead of her, that was really intense. And that was not even on some sort of astral plane world or anything like that. That was just on Earth. And
exactly. It was done.
It was done. But ultimately, it really, I liked it. But
yeah,
like
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Like Ultron, this version of Ultron, if there's not a toy of it out right now, if there's not a figure for it out right now, there should be.
I like it. I've seen a lot of what-if action figures that have been bought to reality. So I think he is one right now.
You know what I'm saying? Like kids, get, ask your parents to get that for you, or collectors out there, put that on your shelf, because I like the design.
Purpose, everything. He was like, how can you put it? He was like, if Superman and Brainiac had a love child,
so
this was what you would have got.
I don't even want to. Oh no!
I already had to cross Marvel with DC, but
no! It's fine. It's been done before.
Right now, they're saying the Eternals are proving that Superman exists. It's a big theory of Superman actually having some sort of existence in Marvel. So is that the way of saying we're trying to give y'all a crossover now?
Look, if they want to do it, I'm not gonna be opposed to it. I will not. I'm not gonna believe that theory though, because it really doesn't make sense to me. But there was a time where Marvel and DC would constantly collab, like every year or every couple of years or so, they would do a crossover event. And they even had an imprint called the Amalgam Universe, where they would basically like fuse characters together and make one cohesive story.
Right, and that's why they said bomb, because they was trying to do too much, and it was like it just didn't get off the ground.
But yo, I talked about it with my best friend and my cousin last year. Because when we found out more information about What If. And there was this rumor going around that Disney might buy DC. Now it ended up not happening, but we were like, imagine if it did. What if they did?
They would have been the ultimate like gurus of comic superhero history.
So
that would give them all access. I would have loved to see, you talking about Spider-Man and Batman, like on a link up type move.
Yep.
Yeah, iconic that would have been. Seeing yep. Wonder Woman and Storm do some things together.
Yep. Yep. And this is before What If hit the airwaves. So I was thinking, and I said, hey, okay, so since What If is basically a bunch of scenarios that didn't necessarily happen, but they happen in different timelines, right?
Right.
Imagine if there was a dimension where DC and Marvel did their amalgam universe and put attributes of different heroes together and create a whole new thing. Imagine that. Like, there is so much potential.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much potential in that. With What If, there's only a certain set of rules you got to play by, right? Other than that, you can do whatever the heck you want.
Right. That would be every call. That would be every cosplayer's fantasy.
Look, I have seen it. Creative cosplayers making their own fusion costumes or whatever. They would have a ball with these.
Well, I'm picturing in my head right now some sort of Superman, symbiote, cyborg.
You get one, you,
God, like, he'd be like the ultimate Superman, like, where he's got everybody.
Yeah. It would just be great. It would just be great. It would be creative. It would be messy. But that's the kind of stuff we love, right?
Absolutely, bro.
So speaking of messy, when you get to the when you get to the Watcher having that fight with Ultron, like when Ultron turns around as the Watcher is narrating, he's like, he feels a presence. He turns around and
what are you doing? It was like watching a story take a turn for the worse, where it's like, you ain't supposed to know that the author's narrating it.
No, it's like breaking the fourth wall is one thing. You're busting these walls down on all kinds of dimensions, and apparently the walls are made of glass. You know?
Exactly.
Like these are glass walls. They're made of glass. Like you can see. Oh God. Okay. All right. What next? Go move. Close the door. Lock the door.
Nope. You've been mad at yourself. I'm like, you're the Watcher, right? You watch all these multiple parallel universes. Why not have just destroyed that universe after you watched what Ultron was doing in his own universe?
Because he can't interfere.
That's his okay. Ultron did what he couldn't do. Interfere.
Because he's not bound by the rules. The rule of the Watcher is you just watch. Right? You can't interfere. I'm pretty sure there's got to be a vote or something on other Watchers. Like, what are we going to do? Oh, no. It's see.
The one action figure you don't buy.
Exactly.
That's like getting the Power Rangers set. And then you like, yeah, I want a Zordon action figure. Like, Zordon don't do nothing.
But Zordon just gives you wisdom. He's in a tube. I still want that Zordon action figure. Okay.
See, that's just because of your collectorship. Will be like, yeah, ultimately you want it to complete the set.
Right, exactly. So we get
more work than him.
So we get like a blue, tube, put a face on it, call it Zordon. There you go.
I'm gonna let you have it.
Or like get a white doll head, put it in a blue tube, and there you go.
So that's like basically saying is get a bobblehead and then spray paint it white, stick it in the tube. And bam, there's your Zordon.
There's your Zordon. Where's his voice? All right. Yeah, we gotta bring somebody in here to voice act. Y'all want Alpha too? Did Alpha ever get an action figure?
Mm-hmm.
He did?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you might as well just give him Zordon then. Zordon could have came as part of the set.
No, but I need to research that though after this show is over. Like,
yeah,
was there ever a Zordon action figure playset? Like, how you gonna give me all? Because if you ever noticed, they always gave you even the sixth or seventh or however extra ranges they add, they ain't never give you Zordon though.
Well,
you get all the villains, even Rita, Lord Zedd, and all them, Goldar, all that. You ain't never gotta. See, they just show you this man is the brains of the whole entire operation.
Yep, and they did tell a story of him before he ended up in that time warp. But
exactly.
You know, but we only got to see it in a flashback. He never actually did anything.
Exactly.
His Japanese counterpart did. Yeah, Barza, his Japanese counterpart did. So I don't know. But
right.
But when it comes to this what if stuff though, like if like when we see that the Watcher is at his, you know, is at his like his wit's end, like he has nowhere else to turn. Where does he go but to the Dark Sorcerer Supreme, which was strange from that universe? I'm like, okay. Yeah, so they're about to put the team together. I was looking at looking at the promos, knew that this was happening, but I didn't know how exactly it was going to happen, right?
Exactly.
But when they did the recruiting process, Captain Carter, I understand. I don't really get why they had to recruit frat boy Thor. And as far as them recruit, like, and them getting T'Challa Star-Lord, I understand that. I don't really get why they had to get Killmonger, though. Like, you know, like.
Exactly. That defeated the purpose.
Like, I get that they were putting everybody together that we already saw. But
that's
then.
Like,
but
that's like being in a new power. That's like being an original Power Rangers series. And they had this battle of the grid war, and they're like, yeah, let's go back and get the Green Ranger that's on Rita's spell. Yeah, he'll definitely help us win.
Yeah, he'll definitely help us win. We'll give him the evil sword and everything. No. I don't get how that would work. But also think about this. Now, I say I don't get why they would recruit Killmonger. At the same time, they recruited a version of Gamora from a universe we didn't get to really see.
Then, and she was total wicked, like she kicked butt.
She, like, we see her in the middle of something with that version of Tony Stark, which dies. Tony Stark just dies throughout this every version of Tony Stark, except, you know, including ours, except he dies, you know, to win the war. Right. And I think they mentioned that during the recap. Right. So, but to see him, you know, to see different versions of him, I'm like, is there an episode we missed? Because remember, there was only this is an odd number of episodes, just 9 episodes.
Exactly.
Is there an episode we missed?
We missed
something. Yeah. Well, there's like something on the cutting room floor or something that we missed because. What's the deal with this version of Gamora? She already had an idea to get rid of to depower the Infinity Stones, but each dimension has different rules. And that was a good way to I don't think they wrote themselves out of a corner. I think they were already planning on it. Each dimension has different rules, right? So, right. You know what? So. Not, you know, so each infinity gem or stone is going to have a certain amount of power and it's going to be different. So like, you know, so I understand that, but explain where that version of Gamora came from and how come we didn't get to see her in action before this?
That's why it's a what if.
Like I want to, just like they gave you an idea of what everybody else in those other dimensions were up to when we got to this episode, you know, like we get to see the chemistry between Captain Carter and that dimension's Black Widow. So, you know, so there is no Winter Soldier as far as we know, but their, you know, their friendship, like they're homegirls, right? Like she's basically his, you know, I mean, her, she's basically her Falcon. Right. So, you know, so I don't know. I just love that version of Captain Carter so much. But I don't get the Gamora thing, and I don't get why they recruited Killmonger. And to see Killmonger like just acting like Killmonger, like, okay, listen, they owe us. All right. If we could do this, and that means we could redo everything that went wrong in our respective universes.
Nope. Nobody wants to wear a rule by Killmonger. No.
You know, and when we see the, you know, the Black Widow from the Ultron, that Ultron's dimension, where she is literally the last person left, you know.
Right.
I'm glad they recruited her. Like, well, they didn't really recruit her, but they did. The Watcher didn't, but the rest of them did. They were like, okay, she's the last one. You know, she's the last one left. She knows more about this world. Let's go. Let's do this. You know?
Right.
And to see like Dark Doctor Strange, like, I'm glad that they got to witness him go completely beastly with certain powers, but that time when he opened the portal to zombie land and brought out the zombie Scarlet Witch, that was hilarious to me.
Right.
Oh my God. It was that last battle, which really, they froze. Now they're just frozen in time. Like, this is cool. Yeah, this is, that was like, I'm glad to say I did not see that coming. I thought there was going to be a definitive winner, but now you have Dark Doctor Strange. Now he's a watcher.
Exactly. Which is basically saying his redemption period.
Right. Even though he's stuck in a dark dimension for the rest of his life, watching over a slow moving timeline, like,
that's what happens when you get the time power stone. See that?
Yeah, right. Right. But yeah, man, I think like this was a night, you know, this was a nice ride. But I want to know, before we get out of here, what's something you would like to see in season two? Now, at this point, it has not been announced. I'm going to say yet, because I'm thinking, why wouldn't they? There's so much they could do here. But it's supposed to be, it's supposed to line up, kind of line up with the way the movies are. So right. If we do see a season two, it'll probably be sometime after that slate, which just got postponed. We just got a few movies postponed. But what would you like to see in What If season two?
I would love to see something maybe tying into X-Men.
Tying into X-Men?
Because I'm an X-Men fan out of all the Marvel ones. I would love to. Like, what if the Sentinels, like, actually accomplished their mission? Or what if Magneto's side actually wiped out the X-Men? Something that just would be crazy, but then you'd be like, oh, man, what if, you know?
Yeah. What if
Magneto got his wish and wiped out all the humans from existence of something? Like something. That would be my what if prediction.
Like, for season two, I'd do something probably, like, simple. And like probably add Namor into the mix, right?
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I probably add Namor into the mix because he's supposed to show up in Wakanda Forever. Right. And somebody did bring up a good point. They are trying to bring back Killmonger in the MCU, right? Now, and according to the comics, he has been brought back from the dead multiple times, right? But just like some people are speculating that the Doctor Strange that we see in the Spider-Man in the new Spider-Man movie is not the Doctor Strange that we know, they're thinking it's Dark Strange, right? Some people are thinking it's Dark Strange from that other part of the multiverse, because Multiverse of Madness is coming up. So what if they give us this version of Killmonger that we saw, as opposed to the first one?
They better be prepared, because he coming with some Avengers. I don't know. It's gonna be scary.
Yeah, because either way, if you got more than one Killmonger with the same goal,
exactly, that's the problem. He got a goal in mind. Like, I don't care how you change and bring him back. If his goal is still his ultimate goal, you can hang it up.
Yeah, but another part of this theory was Wakanda has underwater volcanoes, and they were erupting, right? So what if that was Namor? What if Namor was the one that was making those volcanoes erupt?
See, those little hints that you're dropping are what's going to be those type of unveilings that's going to happen.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, hey, why not put him in a what if? They probably won't do it until after his part in the movie has come out, because otherwise, otherwise it really wouldn't make sense. But that would be one thing I'd like to see. Give me Namor and like the whole starting of the mutants thing in the what if part of the universe, and I'm kind of biting off of somebody's idea, but give me Howard the Duck. Give Howard the Duck his own episode. He showed up multiple times in this show. Give him his own episode.
Agreed.
All right, man. Well, that was fun. I want to thank you for joining me on this discussion. We will definitely be back for more. We got a
few. Always more. A pleasure.
Yeah, always. Man. It's always great. It's always great to just nerd out and just have these conversations. So, what do you have planned from this point on? Tell people where they can find you. Tell people what you're up to.
Well, of course, you know, I'm steadily getting ready, as we mentioned in the opening of the show, getting ready for season 6 of the Who They Want podcast show. So that means you can find us on Facebook at Who They Want Entertainment LLC page. My regular page is Steadman DJ Steady. Are You Ready, Sap? I'm also on Instagram under Who They Want ENT LLC. Man, I'm literally everywhere. Like, anything you can just type in Who They Want, I'm pretty much attached to it. So I'm basically everywhere.
And it's Who They Want, D-E-D-E-Y, not Who They Want.
Absolutely. You did put some respect on it.
you gotta put that in. Just letting you know, for anybody that wants to look us up, because we're pretty much streaming on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
You know? So, and I brought you over here to my neck of the woods just to have some nerd out sessions, you know?
Yeah, bro. That's what we all about. That's what networking is traditionally about. It's not selfishness of you just come and pile up over here. And in your own brand, we just gonna, it's like, we equally yoked. Like, you need me for a project, I'm there for you. No questions asked.
Word up, man. Appreciate it, brother. Well, once again, I just want to thank you for being part of this discussion. And I hope everyone enjoyed our rants, our raves, and our reviews of these episodes. Definitely come back for more. And with that, I am Elder Tenchi. That was DJ Big Dog, aka Steady Are You Ready, aka the CEO of Who They Want Podcast LLC. And we bid you peace, love, and never be normal.
You dig?